So many did so when night training exercises resumed that Winters was forced to make a habit of checking the individual stalls to be certain no one was hiding behind the bunks or standing in the clothes hanging from the hooks. Beyond cover and concealment, each stall had a stove, a large, thick, soundproof door, and a high, airy ceiling. There was sufficient room to hang uniforms and barracks bags and still play poker or craps. For entertainment, the men listened to Armed Forces Network, AFN, radio. It was on from 0700 to 2300, with an occasional rebroadcast of a Bob Hope show, BBC News every hour, and swing music. The men much preferred it to BBC broadcasts, even though they had to endure SHAEF exhortations to keep clean, salute more often, or refrain from fighting. "Remember, men, if you're looking for a fight, wait till you meet the Germans." When they didn't like the tune being played on AFN, they could turn to German radio and listen to Axis Sally and Lord Haw Haw. These propagandists played popular tunes, intermixed with messages that were so crudely done they always brought a laugh. In addition to the radio, there were movies twice a week, usually cowboy thrillers, seldom a recent release. Occasionally, a United Services Organization, USO, show came to the area, but generally the big stars stuck to London. Glenn Miller was an exception. For malarkey, the big thrill of the summer came on July 25th, when he was one of six men in the company to get a ticket to a concert given by Miller and his Army Air Force Band in Newbury. 47 years later, malarkey could remember the program. Miller started with Moonlight Serenade, the most thought-provoking theme song ever written, according to malarkey, followed by In the Mood. On weekends, when they were not in a marshalling area or on an alert, the men got passes. Malarkey and Moore would jump on their motorcycle and head for the South Coast, Brighton, Bournemouth, or Southampton, for swimming and sunbathing. Upon returning from one such excursion, they got a message from Captain Sobel. He wanted Malarkey and Moore to know that he knew they had the motorcycle and that it was stolen, but he was not going to do anything about it, except that he intended to confiscate it when the company next went into combat. Malarkey figured that Sobel's relatively reasonable attitude was a result of his unwillingness to confront Captain Winters. What was not so pleasant as the billets or the radio or the weekends was the training.